morning and take your Bible, turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 22 in your Bibles this morning. I love watching you guys sing. Some of you just mouth the words and go through it, and then there's some that are getting into it. I like it when you get into it. Amen. Joshua chapter number 22 in your Bibles this morning. Been going through Joshua chapter number 20, 21, last 2 weeks, and we have dealt with, let me turn this microphone on. We have dealt with the Israelites as they came into the promised land. And not only did they come into the promised land, but they conquered the land that God had for them. And remember, we've been talking about how Israel represents really the Christian life. And we have a choice to leave Egypt. And when they crossed through the Red Sea, it's really a picture of salvation. They left the slavery of sin. And they, by faith, walk through the Red Sea, and that's a beautiful picture of how we go through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, for our cleansing and forgiveness of sin. And then they began to wander in the wilderness. And there are many of God's people that have never entered the promised land of the fulfilled Christian life, of that purpose, a purposeful life of living for God. There are many Christians that wander in the wilderness. And they failed to go and claim the land and the place that God has for them. And yet the Israelites have now entered the promised land. The walls have come down. The battles have been fought. And the Israelites have now possessed the promised land. The tribes have scattered. They're setting up their homes. They're getting the farms in place. They are beginning to enjoy the fruit of the will of God. And we talked about the last 2 weeks some of the dangers and the pitfalls that occur in the promised land. In the Christian life, there are some things that we need to watch out for. And we talked, remember 2 weeks ago, we talked about the sin of complaining. And how that will stagnate your Christian walk. And I'm so thankful that nobody here complains, all right? And then last week, we talked about the dangers of ignorance. We talked about the cities of refuge that were set up, and those cities were there for those that had sinned, or those that had accidentally killed somebody. It was a place for them to go for refuge, and we just talked about the beautiful picture of salvation that's in Christ in the city of refuge, and yet so many times we forget about Christ, we forget about the security that is in Christ, and sometimes that's where we're at. But today we come to Joshua chapter number 22. And would you notice there in verse number 1, I want you to see the third thing we're going to deal with, dangers in the city. Notice it says, then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law, which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them, and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Let's pray together, and then we'll dive into this message this morning. Father, use me as I preach about the dangers of gossip and a critical spirit this morning. I need your help. Lord, it's something that we do. It's something where I struggle with. It's that critical thinking and that gossip. Lord, it will kill our church, and it will hurt our walk with you. And so I pray this morning as we deal with it, Lord, I pray you'd help us to listen. And then, Lord, help us to forsake it. Help us to have victory this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I think about this passage. Of course, we're familiar with the Gadites and the half the tribe of Manasseh and the Reubenites. Remember when the Israelites were on the other side of Jordan? They're all united together. Of course, their cattle is growing. And man, God's blessing. And the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, man, they've got great cattle, then their flocks are exploding, and the Israelites are getting ready to enter or across Jordan and enter into the promised land. Remember, they came to Moses there. If you remember your Bible history, these two and a half tribes came to Moses and they said, Moses, we know that God's given us this land, we know that it's the will of God for us to go into the promised land, but
We want to stay here and raise our family here, and we want our cattle to be here. We don't want to go in and partake of the promised land. You remember that famous verse where Moses said to the Israelite, or to those two and a half tribes, he said this, he said, all right, he said, if that's what you want to do, fine. He said, this is a commitment you're making, not just to me, but you're making it to God. And Moses made that famous statement that you, I'm sure, have heard quoted and preached many times, be sure your sin will find you out. How many of you have heard that, a message on that, right? Be sure. Usually, you know what it is? Usually, it's mama that was preaching to you growing up, you know? Hey, did you steal that cookie? Well, be sure your sin will find you out, right? You know? But so many times, it's preach, and the application is there, all right? God will one day expose your sin. If you don't confess it, and you don't forsake it, God will expose your sin, and he will deal with your sin. But the reality is, the context of that verse is not with secret sins, but the verse was predicated upon the fact that, hey, if you fail to keep your promise to God, if you fail to go into the promised land and help your brethren fight for victory in the promised land, then be sure your sin will find you out. It's the promises that we make to God that we fail to keep. And by the way, what a convicting verse that is, because, you know, there have been many times I've hit an altar. I've said, Lord, help me with my thoughts. Help me with my anger. Help me to be a Bible reader. Help me to be a man that prays. Help me to be a victorious. And I made commitments to God at an old-fashioned altar, and boy, I've gone back on those. Hey, be sure your sin will find you out on those passages. But these two and a half tribes, they kept their word. Man, they had fulfilled their promise to God. They had gone over. They fought with the Israelites. They labored. They battled. And now they had come to the place where the Lord gave Israel rest. And so Joshua says to those tribes, he says, listen, now you guys can go back. You've kept your promise to God. You kept your vow to God. Now go back. The Lord bless you. We love you. We're your brethren. Go back and enjoy your land that God's given to you. So they make their way back. And notice what happens there in verse number 8. It says, and he spake unto them, saying, return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver, and with gold, and with brass, and with iron, and with very much raiment, divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. And so, man, what do they do? Verse number 9, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh returned, and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. And so they begin to make their way back toward to their inheritance. And they come to verse number 10, it says, and when they came unto the borders of Jordan, the Jordan River, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. What took place here in this passage? They go back, the two and a half tribes build this altar, and what was the purpose of the altar? Was the altar built to worship Jehovah God? Was this an altar that was built for a false god like Baal or Ashtaroth or one of the gods that the inhabitants of the lands worshipped? What was the purpose of the altar? Well, the purpose of the altar was built to remind the Israelites in the Promised Land and to remind the two and a half tribes there on the other side of Jordan that they were brethren and that they were still united though the River Jordan separated them. And yet, what happened here in the story? The story goes on, and the nine and a half tribes heard the news, and then they made their mind, we're going to go kill our brethren. Why? Because they had built this memorial. What's the purpose of a memorial? Think about it. You go to Washington, D.C., and you see sticking high up in the air, you see the Washington Monument, right? The Washington Memorial. Is it the Washington Memorial? I believe that's what it is. A big old spear, you know, spear hanging up there. Forget that one, all right? In Boston, Massachusetts, all right? There is a memorial, there's a big old tower, it's called the Bunker Hill Memorial. I remember when I was growing up, my pastor would do a yearly tour of Boston, and we would go on the Freedom Trail, and we would see different sites where D.L. Moody preached, and we'd visit some of the great Christian historical sites, but we always went to the Bunker Hill Memorial. I hated it, because there was no elevator to go up to the top. It was stairs all the way up, 302 steps all the way up to the top of that memorial. And man, we would climb that thing. By the time you get up there, I mean, if you were fat, you lost 15 pounds, you know what I'm saying? And if you weren't, your legs fell off. I mean, it was a brutal climb. But I think about the Bunker Hill Memorial. Why did they build that memorial? It's to remind everybody what took place on Bunker Hill. That's where the Revolutionary War, that's where they came and they fought against those Bostonians, and that's where the locals put up a good fight against the trained army of England. But that memorial was built to remind everybody of that battlefield. You go to Gettysburg. You go to some of the Civil War. We're down south. I'm not supposed to talk about that, right? But you go to those Gettysburg, right? I love Gettysburg, man. The great memorials there. You go over to Fredericksburg, Virginia, and to some of those places. Memorials are set up to remind folks of what have taken place in the past. Well, the Israelites said, we're going to build this big old altar, the 2.5 tribes, because we want to remind everybody that we're together. Though the river divides us, we're still part of the 12 tribes. Well, what happened? Would you notice here in this story, would you notice the dangers of living in the promised land, the dangers of gossip and a critical spirit? Notice in verse number 11, first of all, this morning, what they heard. It says in verse 11, and the children of Israel, notice that word, heard say. Now, I don't know if that's a southern term. Heard say, but that sounds like a southern term, all right? It's not in my book on how to speak southern, but I'm going to blame it on you guys, all right? But they heard say, all right, so the gossip, all right? This is not the truth, right? This is what the neighbor told the neighbor, that told the brother-in-law, that told the cousin, that told the sister-in-law, that told their second cousin twice removed on their mother's side, all right? The gossip circle, and by the way, I know we're all spiritual and we never gossip, all right? But notice what they heard say. It says, behold, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the border of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel, what? Heard of it. The whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. Notice, first of all, what they heard. They heard the truth, right? What was the truth? They built an altar. Period. It didn't say they built an altar to the false god. It says they built an altar. And yet what happened? The rumor mill started swirling. Hey, they started to talk one to another. And boy, the gossip started to roll. The Bible does not say that they were turning from Jehovah. They just built that memorial to remind them that they were part of the Israelis. I see what they heard. They assumed the bad instead of giving them the benefit of the doubt. You know, that's what we do, Christians, so many times to each other. You realize that? I think about my wife and I. We were talking a couple months ago. And she told me, she said, you know, she said, sometimes it's easy to assume the bad and the negative in somebody instead of giving them the benefit of the doubt. You know, spouses, that's where we're, you know why we have disagreements in our marriage? You know what we're doing? We're giving the individual we're not giving them the benefit of the doubt. We are accusing, well, you went to the store and you bought that because you knew it would make me mad, right? You put it on the credit card because you just wanted to get under my skin. My wife never does that, right? And, you did this, right? Because you knew it just, no. What do they assume the worst instead of hearing the truth. I think about when I was in high school, our youth group, we would play a game sometimes in youth group. And what we would do, we'd all sit around in a circle. And you may have played this, but, you know, there would be a sentence. And the first person, it would be like a circle of 12, and the first person would read the sentence, and then they would give it back to the leader, and they would take that sentence, and they would whisper it in the ear of the next person. And the next person would whisper it to the next person, and the next person, and the next person, all the way around the circle. And by the time they made it to the end of the circle, you won the game if the sentence was correct, right? And what happened, man, the sentence was, the pig sat in the mud. And the end of the sentence was, the Boston Red Sox are going to win the World Series. I mean, it was amazing, right? You go around and you start talking and going in that circle. All of a sudden, what happens? The truth is distorted. What happened here with the Israelites? One person saw the altar being built. They told everybody else. And now everybody's gathered together. And they're going to go and they're going to war with their own brethren. And they're going to kill them. Why? Because of their gossip and their critical spirit. Let me just say, church, we ought not to gossip. We ought to put a lid on it, as we say. And be honest with you, this is a message to me. Because you know what happens as a pastor? I know this never happens with you guys, but you know what happens as a pastor? I'll just let you know a little bit, all right? There is other pastors that we talk to, right? And I've got some good friends of mine, and really what's been going on over in, I don't know if you've ever followed it on Facebook at all, but it's called the Burlington Revival over in Burlington, North Carolina. It's been going on for 12 weeks, and over 1,200 people have gotten saved under a big tent. They've had crowds of over 6,000 people. And you know, some friends of mine have called me. Well, preacher, what do you think about this preacher that's preaching? And I'll be honest with you, I've never met the dude before, all right? I don't. If he came walking into this room, I would not know him by his face. But I've heard rumors about him from other people. You know what I found myself having to do? I found myself having to put my fingers on there and not say anything about this preacher, right? Why? Because I've just heard rumors. I don't know the guy. And what do we do so many times? Well, God's doing something here. Well, it's just because, you know, he's all about his, you know, ego. It's all about this. And we start assigning negative motives. Listen, folks, we need to give folks the benefit of the doubt. And instead of jumping to conclusions and just tearing somebody down, hey, the Bible says that we ought to build up, that we ought to encourage, that we ought to edify, that we ought to strengthen the things that we're made. We are not to tear down, but we're to build up. Hey, what do we do? So, unfortunately, we shoot our own. We tear down our own. I think about my wife's friend in high school. We got married, and right after we got married, this girl just graduated from college, good girl, and she started dating this guy. And the rumors at the church started circling. Boy, you know, that's a bad situation. That guy's a bum, no good, you know. And then they jumped and they got married. You know what the rumor mill started? Well, they got married because she was pregnant. Well, no, she got married because she wanted to get married, you know. And yet, you know, we assume the worst all the time, right? And instead, she was a desperate 23-year-old that wanted to get married. So, yeah, but you know, that's where we're at. That's where the Israelites were at. They had that critical spirit. They had that attitude. And by the way, I put this down. Pharisees say this, all right? So, you know, it's cutthroat out in the business world. They'll just chop your head off, right? But here's what the Pharisees in church say. They say, we'll pray for so-and-so because, and then they tell the dirt. Hey, listen, don't go say, pray for so-and-so, they've gotten unspoken. You know, and stop right there. Don't be like, well, pray for so-and-so because their second cousin's brother got a divorce and blah, blah, blah. Just be quiet, you know. Gossip will kill a church. And it was killing the Israelites here in this story. So we see number one, we see that what they heard differed from the truth. People say, people will gossip and it'll hurt. So number one, we hear what they heard. Number two, notice in verse number 12, what they did. All right, so here's the response, verse 12. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. What do they do? Number one, they got upset over something that was not true. Let me just say something. That's what happens when we gossip. We get upset about something that's not true. Well, this person said this about me. Well, do you know that? Well, this person thinks that. We assume the negative, the bad motives. And by the way, let me say this. Gossip is never alone. It's always with others. A critical spirit, a critical person will always find another critical person. And together they will fester and feed each other and will cause division in a church. Gossip and a critical spirit will hinder growth because you think you're all that and everything else, all right? They got upset over something that was not true. Number two, they wanted to kill their own flesh and blood over gossip. They wanted to get the shotgun out. Let's go to war. Hip, hip, hooray. Let's go have a great time killing our own brother. And how messed up is that? And yet that's what's taking place in our churches so many times. Well, here's a brother that we love. Here's a sister we pray for. Here's somebody that we're encouraging in their walk with God. And all of a sudden we hear a rumor. We hear something out there. We get on Facebook and somebody says this about, hey, and what do? We assume the worst. And then we want to chop them off. We want to cut them off. We want to get rid of them. They wanted to kill their own brother. And then notice in verse 16, notice what they accuse them of. All right, the truth is they built an altar. Period. That's it. All right, verse 16, look at what happened. It says, verse number 15, and they came unto the children of Reuben, talking about the ten princes of each tribe. So it's like we could say the governors of each tribe. All right, and then we got Phinehas, who's the high priest. All right, so these men make the convoy makes their way across the Jordan River, and they get together with the 2.5 tribes. And in verse 15, it says, "Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, By the way, don't you love how they threw of the Lord in there? You can just hear the Pharisaical attitude spewing out of their mouth. We're better than you. Can't you just hear that? Notice it says, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel? So what do they do? Number one, they accuse them of sin. What is this trespass? You are doing this. You are sinning. And they pointed their accusing finger at them. I remember my mom used to say all the time, you know, you point with one finger, but you got four pointing right back at you. I hated that, so I point like this, you know, in your face, Mom, I love you, you know. But, you know, what is this trespass? Can't you? I know you're all spiritual. You never do that, all right? But I'm just saying, this is what took place here, right? What is this trespass? They accuse him of sin. Well, you're doing this because of this motive. They accuse him of sin. Number 2, verse 16. It says, what trespass is this that you have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that ye have builded you an altar that ye might, notice that word, rebel this day against the Lord. What do they accuse him of? They accused him not only of sin, but they accused him of rebellion. You're just like Achan. You know, what did Achan do? He went and stole the gold, the silver, the garments, hid them in his tent, rebelled against the commandment of God. You know, you're a rebel. You know what a rebel is? A rebel is somebody that goes against the flow. You know, everybody's united going forward, and the rebels say, no, I'm going this way. They said to their own brethren, hey, here's what you're doing. And a man accused them of rebellion. Hey, let me just say something. You better make sure you got the facts right. You better make sure you know the true story before you go pointing your accusing finger, because you know what? Just a couple years later, what happened? The Israelites as a whole rebelled against God. And they went and they worshiped the false gods, and they went sacrificing these false gods. And what they were accusing their brethren of is what they participated in just a few years later. You better guard your heart, and you better make sure there's not a rebellious spirit in your heart. They accuse them of sin. They accuse them of rebellion. Look at verse 17. Is this the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? Remember that story? Balaam and the whole congregation of Israel, what do they do? Remember they called for Balaam? They said, Balaam, we want you to come, and we want you to prophesy against the Israelites. And Balaam instead blessed them. But Balaam gave them the solution. He said, you want Israel to mess up? You want God's judgment to be upon them, then here's what you're going to do. You're going to go and you're going to take your girls and you're going to allow them to go and play the harlot, and you're going to get these men to get immoral with them, and they're going to turn from Jehovah God and they're going to turn to your false gods. And that's exactly what took place. And there was a plague that ran rampant through them. So what was Israel? What were these 9.5 tribes accusing their brethren of? They were accusing them of idolatry. Hey, you're worshiping a false god. You're not worshiping the same God we're worshiping. You're following the footsteps of everybody. They accuse them of idolatry. What happens when we gossip? What happens when there's a critical spirit? I'll tell you what. Our thinking becomes warped. And instead of assuming the best in somebody, we assume the worst. Look at verse number 17. Again, or it talks about the plague. So idolatry in verse 17, immorality in verse 17. Look at verse number 20. It says, did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing? And wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that men perished not alone in this iniquity. What else did they accuse them? They accused them of stealing. Man, you talk about a bad situation. Guys, this is what we perceive, all because of their gossip. Your gossip will change your view of your pastor. It'll change your view of your spouse. It'll change your view of your workplace. Your gossip will destroy your life and will cause you to do things that you never dreamed of doing. So we see, number one, what they heard. I wonder this morning, what are you hearing? What are you allowing to not only hear, but what are you allowing to settle into your brain? What do you think on? What they heard. Number two, what they accused them of. And notice thirdly and lastly in verse number 33, notice what they realized. Verse 33, look at verse number 32. It says, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and the princes returned from the children of Reuben, from the children of Gad, out of the land of Gilead, under the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought them word again. So Phinehas and the other 10 men, they're on their way back in verse 33, and the thing pleased the children of Israel. And the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go up against them in battle to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwell. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. what do they realize? They realize, you know what? We were wrong. They realize, you know what? I believed a lie. I believed gossip instead of seeking out the truth for myself. You know, there are some friends of mine in the ministry that are dear friends to me that, you know what? I most likely would not have been friends with them if I had listened to the gossip about individuals. You know, there are people that I know right now that are close to me that I would not have been close to if I listened to the gossip. Well, I think about one of my best friends, Nate Beam. He's a pastor in South Carolina. Nate and I went to Bible college together, and the first time meeting Nate, I thought, man, this guy's kind of dorky. This guy's kind of weird, you know? And I heard some stuff about Nate. Nate just, you know, odd. You know, Nate's one of my best friends. Why? Because, man, I got to know Nate. Because we hung out at Waffle House in Bible college almost every Wednesday night and got to hang out. Why? Because I spent time with them. Hey, don't listen to the gospel, a gossip. Don't have a critical spirit. Instead, go to an individual if you hear something and respond in a biblical way. And you know what? Rejoice in the fact that God is the one that's going to sort everything out. Listen, God hasn't called you to be the police officer. He's called you to pray. God hasn't called you to, you know, come down hard on somebody. No, God's called you to encourage and edify and build up and strengthen the things that remain. So you say, Pastor, what should I do instead of gossip? What should I do instead of, you know, running my mouth? Speak the truth in love. And I love what the Bible says there. And Paul writing to Timothy, he said, study to show yourself approved unto God. And then in Thessalonians, he said, study to be quiet. Shut your mouth and be quiet and let God sort it out. Let's make sure we're not gossipers, all right? Can we do that? Can we do that? If there's gossip in your life, let's forsake it and let's go on and have victory for the Savior. Father, thank you for your word this morning, and Lord, thank you for the truth. Lord, we don't need to gossip. We need to learn to be quiet. We need to be making sure that we're speaking the truth. And Lord, not doing it to tear somebody down. But Lord, we need to encourage and edify and build somebody up. So help us to respond. And Lord, help us to leave different than when we came in this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. But I wonder how many would say, Pastor, this morning, man, I've struggled with gossip. And God spoke to my heart this morning. Maybe I got a critical spirit towards somebody else, just like the Israelites had toward their brethren. And God's really used his word to challenge me this morning. Would you pray for me? I need to deal with that. If that's you, would you slip your hand up all over the room? Pray for me. God's dealt with me. Good. Good. Ben Gossip, good. Pray for me, Pastor. I need to make a decision. Good. Anybody else that's me, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. All right, I wonder lastly, before we stand and sing, would there be one that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I know Jesus died for me on the cross and he rose again. And today I need to be saved. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. That's me. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Won't embarrass you, won't call you out, but I want to pray for you this morning. Preacher, not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Here's my hand. Well, Father, thank you for your word this morning. I pray that we'd respond in a biblical way. Lord, help us to leave victorious today in Jesus' name.